I just want you to know that an hour ago, I nearly choked on jelly beans so that I could preserve the radio show. Our friend Michael Duarte, he was a little bit late getting home after covering baseball at Dodger Stadium. And so he sends me this text after our conversation last hour. So this is this Mike. Here's one of the reasons I love Michael Duarte. He always listens before he comes on the air. So he knows what we're doing. He knows what's happening. I would say, even if there are some guests, there have been others over the course of my career who have listened before they come on the air. He does it every single time and always knows what we're talking about and always knows the flavor of the show in the hour before he joins us. So he sends me this text because he was listening as he's driving home, and he tells me if I had been on time getting home, because he was supposed to join us at the top of the hour, if I'd been on time getting home, I would have missed the bit about the Starburst jelly beans. That was radio gold. Get me some oxygen.
Excuse me.
I did not do that. I was not choking on Starburst jelly beans. I just happened to have Starburst jelly beans in my mouth because I didn't realize we were close. I didn't look at the clock. I didn't realize we were so close to going in the air. And then I decided to go ahead and finish what I had in my hand, which is about 8 of them. I know. All right. Like I'm a fourth grader, I popped all 8 of them in my hand at the same, or my mouth at the same time because they're good. The Starburst flavors are good when they're all mixed together. So I did that. And then, unfortunately, the music was so close to running out that it was either go dead air or apologize for having food in my mouth. So that's what I did.
As long as there's food.
As long as there's food. Thank you, Mac Jones. At least someone is on my side. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of food, Jay, do you think I should tell people about my hot date coming up on Friday night? About how it revolves around food.
I do. I think it's a great idea.
Very creative.
It's very unique.
I cannot take credit for it. So that's the beauty of this, is it was not my idea. This is how, you know, the new man in my life, shall we call him Bob? We're going to continue to call him Bob. Bob is a keeper for this reason and many other reasons.
Green flags left and right.
Green flags left. When you say that, I think, why are there flags? But then my brain, because for my entire life, it's only been red flags.
Yeah, green flags are relatively new.
Yeah.
In that term.
I've never had a checkered flag. I've never even had a white flag. If we're talking about NASCAR or racing analogies, white flag would be your last lap, right? So I've never even gotten to the point where I've had last lap. If you've listened to me long enough, people ask me the worst April Fool's joke ever played on me. You'll understand why I'm telling you this in relation to the white flag. White flag would be an engagement, right? You're there. You're almost there. You've got a lap to go, and you've made it to the checkered flag. You finally crossed the finish line, right? I've never done that. But when I was living in Oklahoma, so this is 20 years ago now, I had a boyfriend who here and there would mention the M word. He would mention marriage. We were together for over a year, but it was one of those just young relationships where it was volatile. And I don't mean physically. I just mean we were always either fighting or it was just a disaster all the time. And so it was way too emotional. This coming from an emotional girl. Anyway, he would talk about marriage every now and then, but on April Fool's, I don't ever play April Fool's jokes. So And actually, I guess it's coming up, right? This will be the anniversary coming up on Saturday. Ha ha, the anniversary. So I don't ever play April Fool's jokes. I forget that it's April Fool's. One Thursday, I remember it was a Thursday morning. I was getting ready to go. I think we were going out to lunch or something. And he shows up at my apartment and pulls out a ring box. And do you remember the story, Jay? Have you heard the story before?
I don't think you've told me this one.
Okay, so maybe it's been later, like earlier, prior to you. But I know I've told it a couple times around April Fool's. My reaction was, and I quote, "Oh no."
That's always what the guy wants to hear.
So because my reaction was, "Oh no," it was one of those relationships where it takes you 2 months to get in and 13 months to get out, something along those lines. It was just bad. Like I said, it was never a relationship that was meant to even go that long. I was young and stupid. And so he pulls out a ring box and I went, "Oh no." And of course, it was an April Fool's joke. There was no ring in the ring box, which I kind of feel like he deserves it for playing a joke like that.
Yeah, that's...
That's low, because then you're... I mean, you're essentially setting up your significant other. Either they think that you are, in fact, giving them a ring, and they're all excited, and then you let them down, or it's the opposite, which is you find out they're not interested in marrying you.
Yeah, there's really no winning there.
No, why would you do that? So over the years, I have come to accept that he deserved that, but at the time, I was mortified, as you can imagine, because we were still a couple, technically. I was mortified, and his face completely fell, and he would never let me forget it. But again, that's the kind of April Fool's joke you don't play.
That's not...
No, that's
like
wrong.
Funny.
That's, no, it's that's, not funny
yeah,
at all.
It's really
exactly.
Not a joke.
Could you imagine if I thought he was being serious and got all excited? And first of all, we were in the bathroom.
I mean, I can imagine that.
You can imagine me getting excited.
No, I mean, I don't know, but I know I can imagine anybody like in that situation
yes.
getting excited because they see a box and a ring
right.
with their boyfriend. And
right.
Then...
So I was like, I remember I was in the bathroom doing my hair and he came up behind me and like puts this ring box out and I go, oh no. So it wasn't romantic. It was in the bathroom. It just wasn't even, you know what I mean? I should have known, but I didn't realize what day it was.
Yeah.
And what came out of my mouth was, oh no. All that to say, that's the closest I've come to the white flag. And clearly, he was not going to ever propose again after that little fiasco. He deserved it. He seriously deserved it.
I would agree with you. I don't see what he was trying to gain out of that. Like,
exactly.
What was his end game?
I have no idea. Just to make me look like a fool. But that's just wrong.
I think he looks like a fool.
Why would you do that to someone that you purportedly care about or
yeah.
that you say you love, right? So that's just awful. But at the time, I was more mortified by my response because that's what came out of my mouth, right?
Never say never, but never.
Or Taylor Swift, we are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together.
That's basically what you said to him.
Funny thing is, he somehow still decided he had to hang around for a little bit longer. Anyway.
This is not the guy we're leaving on the trail?
Oh.
No. With the laxative chocolate? Or?
No, that ex-boyfriend was a little more recent. That one happened just in 2019, actually. So that was much more recent. This was 20 years ago when I was young and didn't know how to have a poker face and keep my emotions in check, right? So anyway, that's the closest I came to being engaged. I've never been engaged. I've never gotten the white flag. And that's not what is happening on Friday night. But you were saying green flag, so that I was thinking green, white, checker, right? No, we're not there. Oh, shoot. Let's hope he's not listening to this, because that's not what I was saying.
Dump.
Bob, that's not what I was saying. Anyway, I went from green, white to checker. So back to the date. Should I tell people do you think this is a unique date idea? Maybe people can benefit from this.
I actually do. And I told you that if I might use this in the future, if the
no,
distance
are you
has
stealing
to
Bob's date idea?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Bob's thrown a couple of things that I've liked his style.
Wow.
On, so.
Let's hope he picks it up right here and misses the part about the engagement.
Hype him up.
Anyway, Bob actually is now appreciates his name. I told him that we've coined him Bob, and so he appreciates the fact that he's got a nickname. Bob asked me on a date night for Friday, and since we are long distance, we're doing a date over video. Not my favorite thing ever, but it's better than the alternative, which is not seeing him at all. And so we're doing a date, and his idea was, because I love to bake, he wants me to teach him how to bake a particular recipe. So this is the first time in my life I will have ever baked with a guy. Definitely the first time in my life I've ever baked with a guy over a video call. So do I need to clean up the kitchen? That's my thing. This is his first time seeing my house. Any part of my house. Do I need to make sure my kitchen is spotless?
No, you can just do like maybe a corner or like a couple little spots that only you know where, and then you can just purposely
point the laptop
right.
So he can't see anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
He can't see the sink. He can only see the oven.
Yeah, throw everything in one corner and just don't put the camera on that corner.
Everything's on the kitchen table. The laptop's pointing the other direction.
Yeah.
Also,
I
already warned him. And this is the thing. Maybe I should be, since it's technically our second date, maybe I should be dressing nicely, but I'm going to be baking on a Friday night in my kitchen. So I already told him, don't expect makeup. I'm not putting on makeup.
Pants.
No, well, he's not going to see my pants. He's going to only see the top of me, theoretically. I've already told him, you need to be laid back because I'm going to be, it's a baking day. I don't dress up to bake.
No.
See, the thing is, I feel like if you start at this point in a relationship with pretenses, that's where you go. So on a Friday night, if I'm not going out anywhere, do you know what I do? I wear a t-shirt. I wear no makeup. If I'm out of the shower, my hair's wet or it's up in a ponytail. Sometimes it's in a bun. Yep, that's what he's getting.
Gotta be comfortable, right?
How impressed do you think he'll be with that?
Probably very.
Stop it. No, he's not. He's gonna be like, oh dear.
Oh no, my connection, my internet's not working. I lost you.
Shoot, I'm sorry. I think my internet cut out. We're having a storm here.
Oh, I see.
So,
no
so much
in the
for
area,
video.
Bob.
Can I just call you back? That's just wrong, Jay. Ouch. Would you do that if the girl was not, I don't know, what's appropriate dress for baking? When was the last time you baked?
I don't know.
See?
I like to eat your baked goods.
I know you do. I know you do.
I'm involved in the process.
And you have, we've cooked stuff before.
Yeah, actually.
But I don't think that I need to dress up for that.
No, I wouldn't think so. I think just normal stuff you'd wear any Friday night.
Well. Shut up. Don't say anything else.
You left.
You're the one who puts on sweatpants and slippers the second you walk in your house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well then, am I allowed to wear slippers?
Yeah, that's a given.
Do I need to wear heels while I'm baking?
No,
just kidding.
No,
I'm totally joking. I would never. Exactly. That would be crazy. Could you imagine if I like dressed up in a really nice dress for our date and then was like, all right, are you ready to bake?
See, that would kind of creep me out more than someone who just came on wearing like sweatpants and nothing. I'd be like,
if I had like jewelry on.
Yeah, that would be a little, what are you doing?
My hair's all done. I've got makeup on and my own. No, I'm telling you, you start with the pretenses, you start with the fake, and then you can't get out of it. So that's, yep. There could be flour flying around the kitchen.
What if he's got like full tux though?
No way. He's a Texas guy.
I mean, you never know.
I don't even know if he's ever worn a tux. I haven't asked him that, but there's no way he is wearing a tux. First of all, our first date was fishing. Okay, we were wearing shorts.
I don't know. It could be renting one right now.
Rendered my dress and my cute sandals completely unhelpful. But no, there's no way. I'm sure he's going to be, you know, his dog's going to be running around. My dog doesn't run, but she's going to be hanging out. First chance to see Penny. See, I'm going to score brownie points because Penny is awesome.
Little dog date, too?
I mean, Penny's going to be snoring. Does that earn me some brownie points?
Yeah.
Penny's pretty cute when
brownie
she sleeps.
Brownie points, nice.
No, we're not making brownies, though. Are you ready? This is the recipe I picked. I told him which ingredients he has to have. And I'm assuming he's smart enough to go to the grocery store and get them. We're just going to assume that. That's baseline. He can find these ingredients. I didn't give him any help. I just said, here's what you have to get. Okay.
Brands, or is that that's on him?
Nah, brands don't matter. You just need the ingredients. And there are probably eight or so of them. Okay?
Okay.
He says he cooks. So I feel like this should be well within his
good,
repertoire.
Good first mission.
Oh, it's good practice. Hey, can you go to the grocery store and grab this stuff?
Yeah, then you know you can do it.
Anyway, so that was his job. He had to go and grab ingredients. And then the baking, the recipe. So I gave him a couple of options. You love island cookies. Those are a big hit.
Yes.
So I did give him the option of island cookies and told him what are in those. I also know that he loves butterscotch, but I told him that I would at some point bake my famous oatmeal butterscotch cookies for him. So that's also off the table. So he chose the oatmeal caramel chewy bars.
Smart man.
You think?
Can't go wrong with that. Those are incredible. Right. I mean, literally everything you've made is...
Right, but I'm not making it. He's making it. So if I don't teach him correctly or if he does something wrong, this will be also a good observation of whether or not he can follow instructions.
So are you going to do it like at the same time? Or are you
yes.
Do
no, that's
it
the like point. We're baking together, even though we're not in the same place. We are
him.
Baking together.
You got to watch him.
I got to be careful.
I don't know. Just check and make sure he's putting it in right.
I'm going
sure
to assume if there's a fire in either one of our kitchens, that's the end of the relationship. I feel like that's
just the start of
a fire?
Stronger one.
A fire.
the spark, right?
Should I tell him to make sure he has his fire extinguisher handy, just in case? Always check to see where your fire extinguisher is before you bake. Here's the problem, though. These types of baked goods, you need to know your oven and how quickly it bakes, and each oven is different. So what happened? Well, I'm not going to say, because my baked goods will come out great. His may not, and then that could end up being my fault, and oh, well. Like I said, I'm no pretenses. I am what I am on a Friday night baking. You get what you get. You don't get upset.
Just thinking back to the attire, apron, is that in play?
Jay, do I look like the kind of person who wears an apron
for baking? I don't know.
I just wipe my hands on a towel or sometimes on myself if I'm wearing. I usually wear dirty clothes when I bake, because why wear clean clothes?
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, dirty as in they were going in the wash anyway. This could blow up in my face, theoretically.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. It'll be the last video date that we have. All right, Bob, just don't listen to any of that.
I got a good feeling.
You have a good feeling?
Good sense. Yeah, Bob's going to come through.
So what are the chances then that next time I can get him to watch Star Wars with me? I mean, the baking idea is very creative and unique. No, I've never heard this before. I'm really impressed with him. He did it all by himself. All by himself. Maybe he went on Instagram and found the idea there.
No. What do you think?
All on his own. Well, then next time it sounds pretty lame when I say, can we watch Star Wars together?
Can we also again do something that I like to do?
Why are you so rude? How do you know he doesn't like Star Wars, jerk?
He might, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You said he's not into the
I didn't ask prequels. Him for a baking date. He asked me. What? Wow, you are rude. You just
Why?
Ruined. Because you make it sound like it's all about me.
No, so he chose the idea, which is very thoughtful and very nice of him.
Yes, thank you.
So what does he like to do?
We went fishing when I was in Texas.
The first date was
thank
his call,
you.
So there you go.
Thank you.
So now you're even.
I thought you were supposed to be on my side.
I forgot about the...
Aren't you supposed to be my friend?
I'm thinking about virtuals and the distance.
Yes. I am never introducing you to Bob.
So now it's one, and Star Wars is fair.
All right. Good thing I run all this stuff by you.
Shut it. Forget about the fishing.
The fishing, exactly. He picked the restaurant. I got to meet the dog. I mean, that was all on his turf. So the kitchen is, I guess, supposedly my turf. I just got this tweet. You just created Bacon Date, the new millennium shake and bake. Well, but it wasn't me, though. I didn't create it. That's why it's so impressive. This was all Bob. Brownie points for Bob. Oatmeal caramel chewy bars for Bob as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The eye, left elbow jumper.
Good. And one.
And Gort got him on the arm.
One-on-one, Ingram left of the lane. Can he make the shot? Drives in. Lost it. Got it back. Leans in. Finger roll. Right hand. Off the square and down. Mike Malone will take a timeout. Ingram drives with a left hand. Bump. Pop a 10-footer.
Got it.
If you're going to milk the clock down, get it in somebody's hands who can take it one-on-one and score a bucket. And that's Brandon Ingram over Jamal Murray.
McCollum for
that's
three.
10 assists.
Got it.
10 assists.
Triple-double.
And C.J. McCollum should be running over there hugging Brandon Ingram, because he's made 6 of 8 threes, and I'm guessing D.I. has fed him on 5 of them.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There's two pieces to this puzzle. The Pelicans and the Nuggets meeting in Denver. That was on Thursday evening. So the two top seeds, at least the current top seeds in the West and then in the East, were both hosting games against potential playoff opponents on Thursday, and both top seeds got shellacked. But the other part of this is that the Pelicans are playing their best basketball of the year, and I can't help but wonder how much better they would be if Zion Williamson wasn't watching in street clothes from behind the bench. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Those are the calls on Pelicans Radio. Willie Green's team has won 6 of 7, though, against Denver on Thursday night. No Nikola Jokic.
They missed some open looks, but our defense was really solid. Getting out contesting on their shooters. You know, we know that they're missing a huge component to the team in Jokic, but it's important for us, no matter what, no matter who's on the floor, with where we are, to come in and execute on both ends of the floor. I thought we did that.
Brandon Ingram allowed to roam free in the paint. 31 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. And so without Jokic and without the body in there, no problem for him at all. And he also, because he's a bigger load, he has an opportunity to just kind of roam around as I say, more space, but also without the resistance there. You can see what Jokic does. And I know Denver doesn't have a great defense, but Jokic is still he's a seven-footer. He's a space eater. If you don't have to run around all over the court tracking him down or following him most of the night, well, then it makes your job a little bit easier, right? So you only have to focus really on the one end of the court. Ingram, he goes 13 of 22 from the floor and only takes one three-pointer. So that kind of shows you he was much more inside the paint and he was much more about mid-range as well as getting close to the hoop. The Pelicans have now won 6 of 7. And to look at the standings, we had talked about them being in that 7-10 tournament. In fact, they were out of the playoff picture looking in about a week ago. Now they are on the cusp of overtaking the Warriors for the 6th spot. And so they have won, as I say, 6 of 7, 7 of 10. They're just a game back of Golden State for that number 6 spot, which would keep them out of the 7-10 tournament. As for the Nuggets, there's a chance they could get caught by the Grizzlies, though right now they still have a 3-game lead atop the West. And yeah, trying to give Jokic the opportunity to rest here or there, but the offense doesn't flow nearly as well without him for Mike Malone.
I felt, for the most part, without having looked at the film, I felt we missed a lot of wide open looks, quality looks, shots that, you know, you try to generate. But I think the simple answer is, you know, when you're playing with the MVP, things are a lot easier.
Well, they sure as heck are, but also in your first quarter, you had 17 points. Offense was brutal in the first quarter. In your fourth quarter, you had 18 points. You're not going to win many games in the NBA these days if you don't score over 20 in a quarter. Actually, if you don't score over 30 in a quarter these days, seems like the average is up near 120 points per game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, between the way that CJ McCollum always scores, he rises to the occasion. He had 23 last night. And the fact that the Pelicans have 4 of their last 5 in New Orleans, that's huge. Any comfort, any advantage, any leg up that you can get right now in the West, you win 2 or 3 games in a row and you can climb the ladder 4 or 5 spots. That's how tight everything is. So if Willie Green's club can take advantage of the fact that they're at home, they've got their own fans, they can finish as strong as they've been over the last 2 weeks, they could end up not just out of the 7-10 tournament, but potentially as high as, say, number 5.
We got to put our work in on the floor. I can get it here in front of this microphone and tell you how great that's going to be. We got to go after it. That's the deal for us. We know where we'll be at home. We know that there's advantages, but we got to get back home, get our rest, and get back to work.
So right now, the West jumbled up. It is a mess. The Phoenix Suns, who've won 3 in a row, are only a half game ahead of the Clippers. The Clippers are in the 5 spot, the Warriors in the 6 spot. So those 3 teams separated by a game and a half. But then that 7-10 group, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, exact same records. The Lakers, a half game behind them. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder, another half game behind them. So right now the 4 teams in the 7-10 tournament are within 1 game of each other. And that includes the Pelicans. If they continue to play well and run off a few more wins here, they very well could climb out of that play-in tournament. As for the Mavericks, right now they're on the outside looking in. Here is the cold, hard truth. Since they traded for Kyrie Irving in early February, the Mavericks are 9-14. But since Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic first got on the court together, they are 6-14. So 3 of those wins since the trade came before those two guys were together on the court. 6-14. Kyrie Irving, don't know why he was talking about it on Thursday, but he was. This is not what he had in mind.
It's been a scramble since I've been here. So trying to fill in roles that kind of were filled in from other people. And I think the realistic view is that when I came here, that this was going to be growing process. This was for the long term, and this was for something that that's bigger than ourselves.
And
we can't just be a championship team overnight, especially
you're not
going to
be
here.
There.
So I think I've wrapped my head around that aspect of it. I'm at peace with it.
Are you?
It doesn't mean that I'm giving up on this season or any of my teammates are, but we know where we realistically are. And, you know, our destiny is in some other team's hands, losing games. So we just got to control what we can control and focus on the next few possessions that we have in these next games against some really good teams that want to position themselves for the playoffs or fighting for spots. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
There's just so much there. Why is he talking long term when he's only in Dallas through the rest of the season? Wait, can we hear it again? Because I need to really focus on those undertones. Are there any undertones at all that this might be his? Well, first of all, they'd have to offer him a contract. We don't know that's going to happen, but that he's talking anything more than just the here and now.
It's been a scramble since I've been here, so
I like it.
Trying to fill in roles that kind of were filled in from other people. And I think their realistic view is that when I came here, that this was going to be a growing process. This was for the long term, and this was for something that that's bigger than ourselves. And we can't just be a championship team overnight, especially me coming here. So I think I've wrapped my head around that aspect of it. I'm at peace with it. It doesn't mean that I'm giving up on this season or any of my teammates are, but we know where we realistically are. And you know, our destiny is in some other team's hands, losing games. So we just got to control what we can control and focus on the next few possessions that we have in these next games against some really good teams that want to position themselves for the playoffs or fighting for spots. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Not only is Dallas on the outside looking in, but the Mavs don't have the tie break with the Thunder. So I read that, which means that if they would finish with the same record as OKC, they're still on the outside looking in. They don't have much of a margin for error. So Dallas has Miami on Saturday. That's in South Florida. Then the Hawks on Sunday. So that's back-to-backs. Two teams in the Eastern Conference. But, I don't know. I guess there's good news and there's bad news if you're a Mavericks fan. The good news is they finish with three consecutive home games. Not that that's been a great spot for them, but at least you'd have the support of your own fans. But they finish up with two playoff teams before San Antonio. Sacramento, Chicago. Now, maybe the beauty is that Sacramento doesn't have anything much to play for now. I suppose they could improve their position, but they've clinched home court, right? So there's not really any. Well, the benefit would be if you move from the 3 to the 2 that you would have home court if you took on the Grizzlies, right? I mean, we're kind of spitballing down the road here. So there would be a benefit if you face the Grizzlies, if you face the two team or the three, it would be the three team in that matchup, then you would have the home court if you're Sacramento and you can move from the 3 to the 2. But they've already clinched home court for the first round. And they wouldn't really change their opponent if seeds hold. They would still end up facing the Grizzlies if they stay in the 3 spot versus the 2 spot. I know I'm a lot of just kind of throwing stuff out there only to say that Sacramento may not have as much to play for. But then you have Chicago and San Antonio. So those are the last 5 opponents for the Mavericks: the Heat, the Hawks, the Kings, the Bulls, the Spurs. They've had chances. They just haven't taken advantage of them. And I'm not putting this all on Kyrie. That's not even remotely the case. The issue is they traded away 2 very good role players to get Kyrie. And as he points out, it doesn't look cohesive in any way, shape, or form. Luka's been hurt a little bit, so he was off the court. Kyrie missed a few games, so he was away. Kevin Durant is definitely the exception. Plus, he knows Chris Paul really well, so there's that piece of it, right? So he and CP3 have played together before in, say, USA basketball, all-star teams. So they know each other well. And then you've got a bunch of other sons. Like Devin Booker, he's willing to defer to KD, but he can shoot. You just give him the ball and Devin will shoot. But KD is the exception in that he'll step onto a court and play any style of basketball. Whereas Kyrie, not quite the same. It's not been fluid between he and Luka, and it's not necessarily been the two of them. It's been, there's just not a real nice rhythm around them. Plus, they haven't played together the whole time. So yeah, lots of challenges there. But I think it's laughable to even talk about Kyrie staying in Dallas at this point. To me, that is unlikely at best. Maybe the Mavericks don't even want him. For the price that he would cost, do you think the Mavericks would want him? This is a small sample size to be sure, but it's definitely been a step back from where they were. Talk about sticker shock. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Tracy wants to know if Bob, she puts Bob in all capital letters, because clearly Bob is a nickname for him. You never know. His name could be Robert. I don't know. I don't think I see myself with a Robert.
No?
No. It's no.
Just no?
No.
I mean, I guess that's fair. What are you going to do?
I also know that I could never again date a John because I've had the worst situations with John. So,
that's different.
Oh, yeah. That sounded not the way that I meant it. John being a, you know, right. Okay. Okay, not what I meant. Anyway, Tracy, back to Tracy, is Bob wearing the After Hours swag on the bacon date? I don't think Bob knows about After Hours swag. He's got a birthday in June. We're not giving him After Hours swag for his birthday. That's not happening. No, it's obnoxious that I would expect him to wear After Hours swag. I don't even think Bob really likes sports, which is tremendous.
Well, it's Penny on it.
That's true, but it's also got the name. Could you imagine asking your significant other to wear a t-shirt with the name of the radio show? First of all, it has my name on it too. It's like advertising. Hey, here I am.
Support.
I don't know. That's a little bit too much. That'd be a little bit too cheesy, don't you think?
Maybe early on, but we'll get to the Midsummer Swag.
We will?
Yeah.
We will get to the Midsummer Swag?
We're together in this.
We are?
Yeah.
You're giving me advice about how to navigate the relationship with Bob?
Absolutely.
But if I don't want your advice, you're the one that just said something about Star Wars being my choice.
Well, I was just giving advice. It's honest advice.
Oh. Something tells me I'm going to get some text messages in the morning after Bob has to listen to the show.
Don't give him my number.
No. Although he did say to me recently, tell Jay that Bob said hello, just so you know that he figures out that we've called him Bob now. Oh, well, secret's out. Hi, Bob. Oh, dear. There's a good chance the date could be canceled. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was fun while it lasted. Here's our latest sports update.
Knocking down the Wi-Fi.
I've lost my internet. Oh, I'm only laughing so I don't cry.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
He will very soon be a member of an NFL franchise as a rookie quarterback. If the reports are accurate, it seems like we could have four quarterbacks taken in the first four picks of the upcoming draft, not even a month away. Anthony Richardson, the latest to participate in a pro day on Thursday. And as part of the Florida Gators display, their showcase, he completed the last 45 passes that he threw. And after he threw the last one, he kind of did a Larry Bird, raised his finger in the air and walked off or walked away toward midfield. So, yeah, 45 different passes. Also ended up with a backflip on the field to display his athleticism. So NFL coaches, GMs, scouts all on hand for this Florida Pro Day that featured Anthony Richardson. What about his draft mentality now with just a few weeks to go?
I've just been working. You know, at times I was very inconsistent throughout the season. You know, so I was just trying to put that behind me, you know, trying to stay consistent because I know inconsistency is not going to work at the next level. So I've just been grinding at that, just trying to, you know, perfect my craft and perfect who I am as a person. And coming out here showcasing what I'm able to do. You know, I'm a natural thrower, you know, so just being out there launching the ball and just tossing around with my brothers, you know, that's just what we normally do.
I'm not a huge fan of the question, where would you like to play or where do you think you'll be drafted? Especially not at this point, because a lot of these guys haven't met with individual teams yet outside of the combine, where they meet with a lot of different teams. So I don't love putting the onus on the athlete. Hey, where do you think you'll go? But it is a question that got asked of Anthony.
Honestly, it's a blessing. You know, I don't really care about the media and stuff, you know. I'm just happy for my brothers, you know. They get the media, you know, outlets as well. You know, people come and see me, but they're also seeing them because they're the ones catching the ball for me, running the routes for me. You know, so I don't really care much about the media. But going through this process has definitely been a blessing for me. You know, as a little boy, like you said, you know, wanting to go to the NFL and having the opportunity to sit here with you guys and, you know, and to realize and know that I'm close to that moment, you know, it definitely does put a big smile on my face.
Frank Reich was there. Pete Carroll was there. Doug Peterson was there. Three different NFL coaches in attendance, but Packers and Seahawks were roundly featured. And really, the goal for Richardson was to showcase his accuracy, which he felt like he did. So NFL Network for those cuts. And then one more with Anthony Richardson. He really does have the best, the highest of expectations for what's to come.
I want to be the best ever, you know, the best quarterback ever, the best person ever, you know, just the best overall, and I'm willing to do anything it takes to be that and achieve that. So that's why any team that wants me should get me.
Day after you get drafted, what are you doing?
You know, I'm going straight to work.
There you go.
Straight to work. You know, I can have fun on draft night, but the next day is straight business from that point forward.
I want to be the best to ever to play the game. I guess lofty expectation, but you gotta think big when you're talking NFL. That's on SiriusXM NFL Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We know that the Raiders do not need a starting quarterback. There's a chance they could draft a younger guy to come up behind Jimmy Garoppolo. But general manager Dave Ziegler, why did the Raiders decide Jimmy G was their man?
When you look at Jimmy, I think the two things that stand out that are highly important is he's a proven leader and he's a proven winner.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's been on some good football teams, but it's the quarterback's still handling the ball.
There's no hiding.
Yeah, you can't hide the quarterback. And so I think to be able to add a player that we know is a proven leader and a proven winner was very attractive to us. And I think for us, too, to be able to see his development as a young player in New England for the first couple years, leave that system, go to San Francisco, and some of the intangible traits and some of the things that we saw, and he won for us when Tom wasn't able to play for those few games. He came in and won for us. To be able to see him go to San Francisco and do those same things,
yeah,
you know, was speaks a lot to who he truly is, mm-hmm. and that he was able to go into another locker room and kind of do some of the same things we thought he was going to be able to do as a young player. It, you know, manifested itself.
Proven leader, proven winner. That's where they start with Jimmy Garoppolo. And yes, they may end up drafting another quarterback behind him. On SiriusXM NFL Radio, that's Dave Ziegler. A lot of the conversation is around Lamar Jackson, which teams might be interested, which teams are not. It seems like a lot of coaches are coming out and saying, hey, he's a great talent, but we've got our guy. And that includes Dan Campbell.
Lamar's a heck of a talent, you know. Trying to defend that guy has been something else. We played them 2 years ago. But, man, we got a quarterback. So I'm like, we got a quarterback, and thank God we got one. And so we're good. But, man, he's a heck of a talent.
When did you ever think you would hear that? Now, we're good. We got Jared Goff.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
I absolutely love that. Lamar Jackson is a great talent. He is. He's a great athlete. But we like our guy. And man, the Lions are a team to watch in 23. So are the New York Giants. Daniel Jones, he's their guy. Owner John Mara making the rounds this week.
We have a lot of confidence in Daniel, and just to see his work ethic and his commitment get rewarded like that was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
And you know, as I said yesterday to the media, I think there's no limit as to how high he can climb if we just put the right pieces around him, because he has the type of makeup and personality and mentality and work ethic to be a very successful quarterback in this league.
It's a question of supply and demand, too, at this point. The supply of money that is required to trade for Lamar Jackson and then sign him, not to mention the two first-round picks that would go in exchange to the Ravens because they've tagged him, but also the teams out there that desperately need quarterbacks are looking in the draft because those top four picks could all end up being QBs. You may have some situations where there are stopgap measures, but where does Lamar fit the best? I mean, that's a big question the NFL still has to answer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.